Lord, put the principle of justice equal, which for the next half century and more was used to justify laws mandating segregation in every life in the South, from transportation to education to public accommodations. The one lonely, courageous dissenter in the Plessy versus Ferguson decision was a Kentuckian, Associate Justice John Marshall Harlan. He wrote in the event, "In the eye of the law, there is in this country no superior dominant ruling class to Israel has given birth to children of these relationships. The children are carrying on. This is going on generationally. In fact, we know that there are a lot of prophets in the fear. Even though prophets like Isaiah are coming down the pike saying, you've got to turn away from this. Something is coming, and you know. And as a husband and father prophetically, the wife and the children of prostitution are about to be hauled into captivity. This is the prophetic equivalent of death. This is the prophetic equivalent of the stoning or burning of an adulterous woman, if you will. And these are the last words that Israel will hear before Nebuchadnezzar hauls them into Babylonian captivity. The book of Hosea. These are the final words God will give them. On the surface, Hosea is a case, so those of us reading will say, good job, God, they deserve it. The evidence that we're about to read in this trial is so overwhelming, we're supposed to walk away and say, well, no wonder they were all in captivity. Look at the evidence, look at what happened. So first, the trial talks about the husband and the father's goodness. I told you, remember, what they'll do is they'll take the goodness and the righteousness of the husband and the father and place it side by side with the prostitution of the wife, and so that people can get a picture, so that when the judgment is rendered, the people can understand why it was rendered. So we begin with the father. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "For take yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land of his slavery of harlotry, forsaking the Lord." So he went and he took Gomer. Are we? Yes, we're in the right place. So he went to Gomer, the god of the plain. She did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, the lavish upon her silver and gold that they used for bail. She was a prostitute. She felt that everything she was getting from her customers, those she was prostituting herself with. And the husband and the father said, no, it was me. It was me. She thinks it's them, but it was me. The beautiful thing about this is that the husband still willingly takes care of his wife, even though she's doing what she's doing with other gods. He's willing to do so. He's willing to do this for her. She then gave him credit to those that she's been talking to herself with. She continues to do it because that's what she thinks. She gets her sustenance. And the father and the husband in this case said, no, she was getting it from me all along. The father's goodness, skip ahead to 11. It talks about him, father. These children are not his children, but he still calls them his children. Legally, they're still his, but he knows that they're not his. He knows that they're growing fruits of a relationship. She brings the children back to him after she's been playing behind his back. But he says about these children, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. It is I who taught him from the walk. I took him in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them before the man with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lives in the yoke. God loves her before, he loves her during, and he loves her after. The dissenting opinion